Good evening, everybody. It's good to see you. Wake up. It's all right. I know you're here. You had to get chapel credits. You had to come out in the middle of the night. Here's some guy from Arkansas. It's all right. I appreciate you being here today. I really, really do. This is exciting to be able to be here tonight, to be with you guys. I think this is an awesome thing that happens here. When I was in college back eons ago here at Union, we had a spring revival every year. It was a campus-wide thing. They didn't give you a choice if you came or not. You either came or you got in trouble, you know. And we all came, and we were coming to a service like some of you guys maybe did tonight, and you're thinking, oh, I'm so tired. I've studied. I just don't have a lot of time. And we walked in that morning of the revival, and something amazing happened. I mean, the power of God just fell upon the place. There was probably about 700 or 800 people there in the chapel over there, and something happened that I've never seen happen before, and I've never seen happen again. We had a simple service like we're having tonight, and the Spirit of God fell, and all of a sudden, by the next service, there were people in every seat, standing around all the walls, standing outside listening. Students, faculty members getting saved and giving their life to Jesus. It was an amazing thing. The revival was so amazing on Union's campus that it absolutely spilled over into the churches of Jackson, Tennessee. And the churches in Jackson started coming, and there were 2 and 3 services all on the same day just to hold all the people. Wouldn't that be an awesome thing to see that happen here? I think it could happen here, and I'm really glad for the opportunity to be here. Micah, thank you for the opportunity to come. Micah called me and asked me to come, and I said, man, that's great. And, what do I talk about? He said, it really doesn't matter as long as it's short. So, no, he really didn't say it. But I'm really glad to be here. I got students that are here. My daughter, Cassie Hallmark, is here. And she's a junior here. And Katie Fraley and Mallory Couples and Trey Smith and Aaron Spencer, all these folks are out of my church. And I'm so glad that they are here at Union University. I really hope that you guys will just give me a few minutes and you'll pay attention. You'll smile at me a little bit, you know, and look kind of halfway nice. You know, I don't know if you've ever done much speaking in front of a crowd, but the hardest thing in the world is to speak to a crowd and they've got a terrible look on their face. You know what I mean? I mean, they looked all sour and mean. I can remember the first church I ever pastored. You know, in a Baptist church, here's the thing. The nicest people I've ever met in my life, I met in a Baptist church. I mean, the sweetest and the kindest and some of the meanest people I've ever met in my life, I met in a Baptist church, right? So there was this one particular lady in the church, first church I ever pastored. And every single Sunday, when I stood up to preach, there she sat about 3 or 4 rows back there with her arms folded with a mean look on her face. I mean, she just scowled at me. I would be trying to preach and she'd roll her eyes and shake her head. I mean, folks, this was discouraging. This went on week after week after week. Scowl, rolling eyes, just shaking the head, just absolutely disturbing. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, as a pastor, you can just be nice so long. And then you've had it. And so I got to preach there one Sunday, and so I was standing there, and I was just trying to preach up a storm, and there she went. She folded her arms. She gave me a scowling look. She rolled her eyes. I thought to myself, if she rolls her eyes one more time, I'm going to have a little talk with her right now. And you know what happened. She did. She rolled her eyes one more time. I came right down off that stage. I went right to where that woman was sitting. And I said, honey, you have got to stop making faces at me like that. You're embarrassing me in front of all these people. Sure enough, you would think it was my wife, right? Yeah. No, it wasn't her. There was a lady named Virginia. And she was the meanest thing. And she had the hardest time. She told me, she said, let me tell you something. I didn't like you before you came. I didn't like the pastor who came before you. I'm not going to like the guy who's going to follow you. And you probably won't be here long. You know, you got to love that. You know, the love of Jesus is spread all over this woman. You know? And the thing is, people all around, we think, well, that's not what a Christian ought to be. And yet, in a lot of places, that's what a Christian is. That's what she was. She said, I can't stand preachers. And I sure don't like you. Well, let me just tell you something that was funny that happened. Just a couple of months before I actually left that church, almost 5 and a half years later, on a Sunday night, her husband came walking forward during the invitation. He came forward. He just cried. And he said, oh, Brother Clay, I just come forward. I said, what'd you come forward for, Gene? He said, I've come to surrender my life to full-time ministry. I know God's calling me to be a pastor. That was her husband. God got back at her. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those kind of things. But, you know, sometimes that's what a Christian is in a lot of people's mind, especially out there in the world. You know what everybody around us wants to know? They want to know, is that Jesus thing you say you have, is it real? Is it real? I mean, come on, what really is different about you? What makes you stand out? Is that Jesus stuff real in your life? That's what everybody wants to know. And the reason they're asking that question is because here's something, and I put this in your notes. Here's what's happened in our churches and on our College Baptist campuses. Here's what we've done. We've become consumers of the faith rather than contributors to the faith. In other words, we have this ideal, I think it's in some of the songs that we sing or the books that we read, we have this idea that this whole Jesus business, this whole Christianity business is about us. We think it's about us. Let me tell you why I know. Because there will be people who will leave here tonight and they'll go back to their dorm room and they'll say, you know, I'll just be honest with you, I just didn't get anything out of that. We'll go to a church service on a Sunday in one of the churches around and we'll say, you know what, I was there, but you know, I just didn't get anything out of that. Well, let me ask you a question. Since when was this whole stuff about you? Do you know this is not about you? This is about the Lord. This is not your work, it's His work. This is not your ministry, it's His ministry. This is not your life, it's His life. We've got to give ourselves once again to the Lord. We've got to start contributing to the things of God as God's people. It's not about who can come and serve us. It's about who we can serve. You know, a lot of people have had this idea that Christianity and going to church and stuff like that is a lot like going to Walmart. You know what I mean? I mean, you want to go into Walmart and you want somebody to greet you. You want to park at the front door and you want to get anything you want when you want it and you want it for a couple of bucks. And that's the way we go to church nowadays. We want somebody to greet us. We want the best parking spot. We want it to be just like, we want to sing the songs we like and the people we like, and we want to do it all for the couple of dollars we throw in the offering plate. And that's not what Christianity is about. You say, well, what's it about? Well, I'm glad you asked me. I'm going to tell you. So if you look with me in your Bible, in Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2, I'm going to read beginning in verse number 8, and there is a phrase here that I really want to point out to you, and I want us to think about very briefly tonight. Here the Apostle Paul, here the Apostle John is on the Isle of Patmos, where he had been exiled for his faith. He's got this revelation of God. God is revealing Himself to him. And He tells him, there's seven churches. I want you to write a letter to seven churches. And he writes to this church in Smyrna. Now, this is not Smyrna, Tennessee, all right? But he writes to Smyrna. And here's what he says in verse 8. He said, to the angel, which means the pastor of the church in Smyrna, write, these are the words of Him who is first and last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. What kind of Christian is it that God wants you to be? What is it that God wants you to be on this campus? What does He want you to be on a job? What does He want you to be wherever you are? What kind of characteristic ought you to have? The answer is simple: faithfulness. And what kind of faithfulness? What should characterize your life? A life that makes a difference. Well, John says it right here for us. Look what he says at the very end. He says, be faithful even to the point of what? Death. Be faithful even to the point of death. Now, let me ask you a question. What Christian person in this room does that describe tonight? Who do you know in your fraternity, your sorority, your group, that would describe their life? When you think about their Christian life, you say, let me tell you something. They would be faithful to God even to the point of death. Not many folks. Do you want to know why we're not impacting people around us for the gospel of Jesus? Do you want to know why so many people are lost and going to hell? Do you want to know why so very little missions is being done and so little ministry? It's because of that. We don't know many people whose lives are truly characterized by the faithfulness God demands of us. Be faithful to the point of death. We think that what's going to happen to us is sometime we're going to be sitting in this service and somehow the Holy Spirit of God is going to descend like a dove and just whoosh, we're going to get this big feeling and all of a sudden we're going to become faithful. It doesn't work like that. Faithfulness is not a feeling. Faithfulness is a choice. You choose faithfulness. You choose whether or not you're going to be faithful. All throughout this day today, you have made choices as to whether or not you are going to serve the Lord. You have made choices this day on whether or not God is going to be glorified in your life and is going to impact the lives of others. You've made those choices. So if we're to be faithful to the point of death, what does that look like? What do we need to be? Well, there are four choices that we need to make and things that we need to be. And they're real quickly in your notes and we're going to be done. Let me just tell you what they are real quick. The first is, I think what John is saying here, John is saying we've got to be dedicated. We've got to be dedicated. One of the best scriptures of that is written by the Apostle Paul, Romans 12:1. You know it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. The whole idea of being a living sacrifice is a Christian living his or her life completely dedicated to God. Truly given over to God in all things. You know, we're dedicated to lots of things. I mean, people dedicate their lives to all kinds of projects and all kinds of positions and people and possessions. But I wonder, are we really truly dedicated to God? I mean, do we really give our lives completely to God? Probably not. The truth is tonight that if I were to hand out a 3x5 card to each of you and tell me, what are you holding back from God? Everybody in this room could write something down and you would. What are you holding back from God? Are you really giving your all to the Lord? Are you truly dedicated? Are you really surrendering your all to Him? The truth of the matter is, most of us are not. We would all have to write something down. I am holding this part of my life back from God. I am not giving this to God. Do you know why revival doesn't come on this campus? Because we're holding things back from God. Do you know why our lives don't impact others? We're holding something back from God. The Bible is filled with examples of times when God judges people because they held things back from Him. You see, to be a living sacrifice means to be dedicated to the Lord with every part of your life. It means not allowing anyone or anybody to come into view of your life that would keep you away from the Lord and serving Him. So we've got to search God's way and follow God's will. So we've got to be dedicated. Listen to me. Being dedicated is a choice that you make. Secondly, not only do we have to be dedicated, I think John would also help us to understand that we ought to be disciplined. Disciplined. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. The emphasis for James on the life of a Christian is the ideal of persevering or overcoming temptations and trials faced in everyday life. There's only one way that you overcome temptation. There's only one way you overcome trials, and that is that you allow discipline into your life. Anything that you're really going to accomplish in life will only be accomplished because of discipline. If we are ever to overcome and persevere, we've got to be disciplined. Why? Well, first of all, because undisciplined people fail to accomplish what they ought to be doing for the Lord. They're always meaning to get around to it. You know, there are these people that are always talking about, you know, one of these days I'm really going to do something great for God. One of these days I'm really going to be committed. One of these days I'm really going to be committed to the church. One of these days I'm really going to make a difference. Really? Why would you wait till one of these days? You're not given one of these days. The only day you have to make an impact for the Lord is today. Right now. The opportunities that are around you right now are never going to come to you ever again. The time is right now. But undisciplined people, they fail to accomplish what they ought to be doing for the Lord. And secondly, undisciplined people fail to be the blessings for God that they should. How sad it is to see people who lose their Christian testimony because they make stupid mistakes. Because they won't discipline themselves enough and they fall into temptation and they fall into sin and they put on a good show in front of all their friends, but the truth is deep in their heart when they lay their head on the pillow at night, they know they're far from God. Be faithful to the point of death. You've got to be dedicated. You've got to be disciplined. There's a third thing you've got to be, that is you've got to be diligent. Diligent. Look at what it says again in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. I wonder, how many Christian people do you know who are characterized by diligence? I mean, real diligence. In fact, the truth is, many of the Christian people that I know, they're not characterized by diligence. You know what they're characterized by? Laziness. Laziness. When it comes to worshiping God, when it comes to working for God, when it comes to being willing to give our lives to the Lord and our talents and our money to the Lord, you know what we've become? We have become lazy in the things of God. So many people, I was just looking around a while ago when Sean was doing a great job of leading us, and there were some of you in here who were worshiping God, and you were really, truly worshiping, and there's some of you who came in here tonight like you're a spectator, like you bought a ticket, and you expected to be entertained. That's not diligence. When it comes to work, we're always content to let somebody else do our part. The truth of the matter is that in order to be a Christian that really makes an impact and a difference, not only do you have to do what the Bible requires, you've got to do those things and then some. Do your part and then some. Diligence. Go beyond the minimum. Go to the places people won't go. Go to the hard places. Do the things that others refuse to do. Step out of your comfort zone and make a difference for the Lord. To do those things is a choice, to be dedicated, to be disciplined, and to be diligent. There's one final thing you've got to be. I think in order to be faithful to the point of death, I think John would say, you must be dependable. Dependable. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And the God of all grace who calls you into this eternal glory in Christ will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Key thoughts right there are these: strong, firm, and steadfast. Peter is saying and telling us that the Christian person who is truly faithful to God is a person who is dependable. They can be counted on. I wonder, can you really be counted on? Can the Lord really count on you? I mean, when a person who's lost needs to know how to be saved, are you dependable? Can the Lord depend upon you to show them how to get to heaven? When a person has a need that's got to be met, are you dependable? When it's time for you to give of yourself and your time and the talents God's given you, are you really dependable? I want to encourage you to think about how tonight your life could be forever different and forever changed if you would just simply choose, no matter what, no matter who, no matter what circumstance I face, tonight, God, I choose to be faithful. Lord, not this consumer faithfulness. Lord, not this worldly faithfulness. Not what I try to do in front of other people faithfulness. But truly faithful. Lord, I'll be faithful even to the point of death. All around the world tonight, there are college students your age who are Christians who are literally having to choose life or death based on whether or not they will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is their Lord. Tonight, nobody's forcing you to do that. But here's what's happening. There's a lot of people all around you who are going to choose heaven or hell, life or death, based on whether or not you choose to be faithful to Jesus, who you say is your Lord. Your life could be forever changed and different, but it's your choice. I want to encourage you tonight, stop playing the games. Stop pretending to be something that you know you're not. And hey, I got news for you. Everybody around you knows it already too. Just be honest. If you're in this place and you've never given your life to Jesus, you ought to do that. Christian campuses are filled with people who know Jesus in their head, but they don't have Jesus in their heart. Who at some point in their life made a decision about Jesus with their head, but they never surrendered their life to Him. You need to do that. Don't leave here the same. Let the Lord change you tonight. And let revival begin in you. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank You for the truth of Your holy word. And Lord, I thank You for the privilege of being here with these great students tonight, being on this great campus. Father, I just pray that these students would experience revival. Lord, we try to so spiritualize everything in our lives, and we're expecting this great feeling that we've got to come into Your house and we've got to have this feeling and this experience. And Lord, the truth is, it's not about a feeling. It's about obedience. And Lord, tonight we can make the choice individually to be obedient to You, to be faithful to You, to be characterized by all these things tonight. Because, Lord, if we would, it would change our lives. It would change the way we study. It would change the way we love others. It would change the way that we live. It would change the way we spend our money. It would change everything about us, God, and we would impact the lives of others around us. Lord, if there be one student here tonight that doesn't know You as Savior, Lord, I pray that this would be the night they would be saved. Lord, there are some believers here, God, who are just barely getting by. Lord, they're just giving You the bare minimum. Lord, that's not good enough anymore. Help them to choose to be faithful. Not just any faithful. Faithful to the point of death for Your honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.